Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In this world of technology, things are ever-changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone. Welcome to the Tech Zone. We on our tech flow. And it's still a global market in case you didn't know. So many guests we not trying to impress. Just want to pass off the info. You can do the rest. See, there's no escaping tech. It's part of our lives. Keep every individual connected worldwide. But all this innovation is more than entertainment. It's people like you paving a new way every day. So let your imagination run wild. With all the things that you dream about. Cause the Tech Zone is on now. With Paul Amadeus Lane. Blah. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Tech Zone. Paul Amadeus Lane, ABC News Radio, KMET, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn. What did I miss? Oh, yeah. A big announcement coming up in the second segment about another platform that we will be adding. And I'm so happy that you guys have made it possible for me to do this, to expand, to be able to do it without you. Hey, on our show today, we are going to be talking about ways that we can protect our creativity. You know, maybe you are a weekend photographer, maybe not even a professional photographer. It was funny. I used to have a guy that I knew. His diction wasn't that good. Pronunciation wasn't either. And he said, well, we're a professional. We got a business license. Yeah, I just wanted to share that. But the reason why I brought that up is because people can take our images, our pictures, and take them on as they own them themselves. And some people make money off of certain things. Maybe not in this country, but in other parts of the world. We're going to be joined in the second segment by a company that will help protect our creativity. Whether if you're in business or not, you definitely want to check out the interview coming up in the second segment. And in the third segment, Mars. We're going to talk about life on Mars. We know that National Geographic just premiered the second season of Mars, season 2. And what I really love about the show is it's part documentary and part series. It's pretty cool. You hear from ones like Elon Musk, Bill Nye, the science guy, authors, astronauts. And it is really cool the way Nat Geo did that, opportunity to talk to the cast and the crew earlier in the year, and I wasn't able to share it because they wanted me to wait closer to the air date. Well, the air date is here now. I can let the cat out of the bag, and you don't want to miss that. Coming up in our third segment, the red planet. Would you go to Mars? What's the first thing you think I'm going to ask if I'm going to go to Mars? I want to go, but I'm saying, are there any more black folks there like me? Because if it ain't, I ain't going to be the only one. We know what happens sometimes when you're the minority places. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. You know, that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that, and then I'm going to move on. So those are the things that we are going to talk about on this edition of the show. I wanted to start off this first segment as we get ready to go into our second one in a few moments. Talk about some funny things that we do with technology that are not intended to be funny. How many of us use voice to text? I know I do. Now, some of you out there who are my friends who get text messages from me, you know exactly what I'm talking about, whether if it's a Facebook post, whether if it's a text message, and Brett Malik knows this all so well. I'll tell you a funny story. Brett and I worked at another station before. We did the morning show together for many years. And Brett and I were part of this direct selling company. And they would always do contests and everything. And Brett won one day this pretty cool gift set package. It was like get your body right. It came with a shake, it came with pills, came with everything. Brett got the hookup. So when they announced that Brett won, I went on there and I said, "Hey, congratulations, Brett." I meant to say, "Don't gloat about it," right? So the funny thing about it was the next day or later on that day in the morning show, Brett said, "Paul, I'm not going to gloat about it." I was like, "Brett, what are you talking about? Gloat about it." Well, instead of saying gloat, I said glot. So that's one aspect of voice to text going wrong. What are some of your stories about that? Tell you another one. I was taking a Dale Carnegie course. Some of you out there know about Dale Carnegie course. Again, Brett and I, we both took the course. He did one, I did another. Really good course. Helps you round out your personality when it comes to not business, but business. Teach you how to selling. Teach you how to get along with others. Communication skills. This is a really good course to take. Well, me and a colleague decided to take one together. So the day before, I said, "Hey," spoke into my phone, said, "Hey, looking forward to seeing you tonight at the class," right? Looking forward to seeing you tonight at the class. I'm sure in your minds right now, you're probably thinking, this can go wrong really bad. Okay, switch a few words. And I sent it, and then I looked at it, and my wife is always getting on my case, telling me to always proofread. I'm like, whatever, I'm fine. Well, this one, I wish I would have proofread. It said, "Looking forward to getting in to you tonight." Yeah. Both of us are married. Both of us don't get down like that. So can you imagine what our spouses would say if they saw that message? So I was with my wife as it is. She saw me speak the message. I said, "Ray, look at what it sent." So I was off the hook. I hope she did the same thing with her husband, because let's face it, men are intimidated by all this chocolate. That's all I'm saying. Yes, yes, they are. But what are some of your embarrassed moments when it comes to voice to text? My mother-in-law sent me one day, and I don't think it was an accident. I think it was real. But it just goes to show, you know, technology goes wrong sometimes, especially when you're using voice to text. And sometimes I get so frustrated because they know I'm not trying to say those words. It's an AI. It should know, but I think AI is evil. I'm just joking. No, I think they have a sense of humor. Oh, we're going to put this in there to make it seem like it's saying that. Don't don't discount that. Some of these machines got some minds. Remember the movie iRobot? What did Sonny say? He said, "I did not kill the man." Remember that? So these AIs, man, yeah, your conspiracy theories, but yeah. So what are some of your funny tech stories? I want to hear it. Tweet me, email me, paul@amadeuslane.com. We definitely want to hear that. Guess what's coming up in just a few weeks? Black Friday. And no, it's not where all of us black folks get a chance to go shopping. I remember doing the morning show again with Black Friday. I said, hey, we can all go shopping today. But Black Friday, for some of us who may not know the term of it, Black Friday is when companies are able to get out of the deficit, they hope, and get into the black instead of the red. So there's a lot of tech deals that's happened. If you missed the show last week, go ahead and check it out about the forecast when it comes to tech. But do me a favor. Don't get into any fights at Walmart or these other stores out there. There's enough to go around, you know. Act like you have some sense. We're being watched. I just remember that. So that's coming up soon. What are some of the toys and gadgets you're going to buy? I got a few on my radar that I'm going to check out. So without any further delay, let's get the show on the road. When we get back, we're going to talk about copy track, what it means for you, how you can protect your images, your pictures, and things you just want to protect out there so people won't take your likeness and make some money off of it. Yeah. If they do, this company is going to show how you can get paid too, and they can fight for you legally and all that other good stuff too. This is the Tech Zone, Paul. I'm Amadeus Lane. We'll be back after these messages.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone. In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Hello and welcome back to the Tech Zone. Paul Amadeus Lane, thank you so much for joining us. We are just a couple of shows before we reach show number 100. Not 100, 100. When you reach 100 shows, you can mispronounce it and say 100. We appreciate that you who've been there since day one, or those who have been there since day 98 when it comes to the show. We really appreciate all that you've done to support the show, to support us. And remember, always connect with me, paulamadeuslane.com. That is my website. And remember, you can catch the shows on YouTube, live stream here on ABC News Radio KMET. And we are launching a new Roku channel, Amadeus Fourth Media. That's my new network that I've been working on for a while. It's coming to fruition. It will launch soon. I will let you know. So if you don't have a Roku, go out and buy one. We're gonna have some great content on there. Not only all the shows that I do, Ability Zone, Entertainment Zone, Tech Zone, but other shows out there that ones are doing too. They want network exposure. So I am so happy about that. And the cool thing about it is technology has allowed me to do so. Yeah. All right. Have you ever heard the expression of someone biting your rhymes? See, if you have any, I guess, contact with hip hop or rap, back in the days, rappers would say, "Don't be biting my rhymes." What that meant was, is that someone would take lyrics that they wrote and took it upon as if they owned it and they did it themselves. What does that have to do with technology? Have someone bitten your rhymes? What I mean by that, let's say if you're a photographer, or not even a photographer, maybe even taking photography, you create images, anything that it comes to images and likenesses out there that you have done, professional or not. Have someone took those images and started to use them as though they owned them? You would be surprised how many people out there are doing that worldwide. Now, there are some copyright laws here in the United States you can do to protect yourself. But do those laws extend internationally and worldwide because of the internet? Well, my next guest is going to talk about how their organization, their company, is protecting you and I when it comes to our images and pictures out there on the internet. And if people are out there biting our rhymes, they're going to have to pay for it. And they are going to tell us and show us how. And I'm so happy to have with me right now the CEO of CopyTrack. We have Marcus Schmidt all the way from Berlin, Germany. Guten Tag, my friend. How are you?
Guten Tag. Thank you. I'm very fine. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for joining me. And Marcus, what I really love about my show is that I have a chance to connect with wonderful companies like yours out there around the world and seeing how this global thing of technology is just real, and it kind of brings us together as people. So I'm really excited about this interview, my friend.
Thank you for having me here. I'm excited too.
Okay, so starting off, and I kind of talked about this in the beginning of the show and before I brought you on about CopyTrack. So if you can let us know, what is CopyTrack?
Well, CopyTrack is actually a service for photographers and image agencies, for publishers, and basically everybody who owns image rights. And you can simply sign up for free and upload your images. Then Copy will find where your images are used worldwide. And then you can decide whether they are used legally or illegally. And if you find out that they are used illegally, then you can simply submit a case to us, and we will take care of the post-licensing or of claiming back the money for you. The nice part is it's completely risk-free for you, and we'll only take a success-based fee in the end.
I love it. I love it. And you know, Marcus, you and I kind of talked about this before we started the interview that, you know, I didn't even know something like this existed until a couple of years ago, how people will take a person's image and put it on the internet, and it's like counterfeit a lot of things. And I didn't even really know this existed until about a year and a half ago. So when it came to you creating this company and founding this company, what made you want to create something like this? Was it a personal experience with something that you were working on? Why don't you open up about that, please?
Well, it's actually two reasons. So the first one is I enjoy taking photos myself, you know, and then you buy a bit of a better camera, and then you do some more photography, and suddenly you find out that some people use your images, but you only find out by coincidence. And when I became aware of that, I checked with some photographers, and I realized that that's actually a huge problem for them, and their images get stolen permanently. So I did some research, and I found out that daily about 2 billion images are uploaded and shared online, and 80% out of that are stolen and used without a license. And now you can do the math. I mean, as an entrepreneur, it's quite easy. That's a huge market. And on top of that, I had to come up with that, since it's simply a way where photographers can get a fair payment in the end.
Wow. So Marcus, when we look at photographers, definitely being a user of CopyTrack, are there any more industries out there who are using CopyTrack, or any more industries that could use CopyTrack besides ones in photography?
Well, our typical users are professional and amateur photographers. Then we have several large image agencies around the world and publishers. They own a lot of photo content, and in the end also e-commerce companies who do product shops mainly that get stolen from other e-commerce shops. So that's the core or the mix of our clients.
Wow. So it seems like your clients are limitless, you know, with everyone out there, photographers and your other targets out there too. How do you manage all these images? Is there kind of a database that you guys are using? But how do you guys actually do this?
Well, currently we have about 65 million images in our database. And we search all of those images every 2 weeks worldwide. So we have several different crawlers depending on the purpose and also depending on our clients. We have crawlers that search in a very broad way, but we also have crawlers that we can dedicate to certain targets, domains, if needed.
Now let's talk about the different countries, because this is what I think is phenomenal. Even though you guys are in Berlin, Germany, I always want to go out there. So one of these days, Marcus, I'm going to come visit you out there. But when it comes to being in Germany, this business is actually worldwide. How many countries are you in?
Well, I mean, since the internet is worldwide, it only makes sense that you offer this service worldwide. So our crawler really searches worldwide without any limits of countries. We are currently following up in, I believe, 145 countries. And so far we have successfully recovered licenses and fees in 84 countries. So this already shows that it's a global problem, and of course you can only solve it by a global service.
And Marcus, a question that I wanted to find, let's say if someone is trying to steal one of my images of my beautiful face, right? And I say, Marcus, hey, somebody's using my likeness. I don't know why, but they would use it. When you go and work in behalf of me, how does the process work? Do we penalize the ones who are trying to use my image without my permission? How does all that work?
Okay, well, first of all, you put your beautiful face into our database, and then we'll find out somebody in Japan uses it. So the first thing you will do, say or tell us, hey, somebody used my beautiful face in Japan without a legal license. And then we'll go ahead, and the first thing we do is we contact the infringer or the opponent, and we will ask them or tell them that we found that they use this image, and we couldn't detect a proper license. If they have, they should please provide it and upload it. So first, we have a friendly approach. We ask them for a license. And if they can provide it, it's fine. Then we will get back to you and check whether this license is okay and close the case. If he cannot provide a proper license, we offer him a post-licensing, which is a very fair approach. And only if he doesn't accept this post-licensing offer, then we take the next step, which could be a commercial collection, a legal letter, or going to court.
I like that. So in other words, when the post license is where I can maybe make a little money from my beautiful face, and then also you as my agent are defending me, and that's how you guys can make your money too. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. So during the whole process, I mean, you have initial costs, no monthly costs, and throughout the whole process, you are risk-free. Only if we are successfully recovering a license fee for you, then we keep a certain cut, which is 30% in case of post-licensing, And only if we have to go further and take some legal steps, we will keep 50%. But on the other hand, we also carry all the risk.
I love it. I love it, Marcus. You know, this is pretty cool. You know, I'm digging that, you know, because where I'm from, there's a saying, and it's called game is sold and not told, meaning that someone cannot profit off of what you're doing if they're not going to give you a little cut of it. So I like that, Marcus. You know, I really love that. Really love that. So let's talk about another project that you guys are in, a blockchain project. Do you mind sharing that with some of our viewers and listeners out there, please?
Sure. So out of this business, CopyTrack, we realized that it's fine detecting where those images are used. It's also a great service to recover the fees. But at some point, we realized that we have a problem proving the ownership. So if you look worldwide, there are only 17 countries that actually offer a copyright register. You know that from the US, but I mean, worldwide, 17 countries is nothing. And only five of out of those 17 are really relevant countries. So I think if you think of the US copyright registration, you can register your copyright, but that might be a thing of former times where there was no internet, because maybe your images were stolen in the US. But what if your images are stolen in Japan? What if they are stolen in Australia? I mean, now everything is borderless, and therefore you need a global copyright register. And that's exactly what we built, and we started a company called Consensum in Singapore, which is a global copyright register. There are actually two different layers. So the first thing is we developed our own blockchain based on the Qtum blockchain, which is public. So actually everybody who wants to register digital assets could create an application for videos, music, contracts, whatever. They can create a application and use our blockchain to register. Then on top of that, we created the first application ourselves, which is the Global Copyright Register. And there you can simply sign up and register your images. Signing up is a little bit like if you open an online bank account. So we have a video identification process, and once you are identified, you can register your images.
Love it, love it. And when it comes to images too, Marcus, could it also be with logos too? Like, can we register those images as well?
Yes, so an image is not only a photo, it could be a graphic, it could be a logo. And what happens is that we create a hash of your personal data and a hash of your image. And if you register it, we connect both of these hashes and write them onto the blockchain. And you will receive a digital certificate, a PDF actually, with all the information. And in order to have it validated by a third party, let's say a judge, he simply can enter a digit, just like a number on your credit card, and can reverse check the validity of this certificate. So this is the, let's say, the first step to have that accepted in general.
So Marcus, this is really, like you articulated before, really a solution for the Internet of Things now that we live in. Because you talked about in the United States, we can copyright certain things, but it really doesn't take into account the Internet of Things, you know, worldwide and all these other things. And I'm happy that that Consensum is out there for ones like myself and other ones out there who have images, logos, graphics out there to make sure ones are not stealing these likenesses from us. Is there anything else you'd like to articulate about Consensum and the blockchain technology that we haven't had a chance to discuss yet?
Well, I mean, many people currently doubt a little bit about this blockchain topic. First of all, blockchain is nothing, let's say, secret or mysterious. Blockchain is actually nothing else than a database The only difference is that it's a distributed database, which means that everything you write into that database is immutable, because once you try to change it, it would create an error. And therefore, it's safe to register. And therefore, also, a blockchain technology is, let's say, running a register on that is a no-brainer. So it's one of the best use cases you could choose. What we have done now is we connected actually the copyright register Consensum with CopyTrack. So if you register your image, they are automatically tracked. So not only have you, registered your image and have a proof of your ownership, but also you will be notified if somebody steals your image.
Love it, love it. You guys are like a one-stop shop. I like that. So we have Consensum, we have CopyTrack, we have these two services that you provide. Should we get both, or does it really just depend on what a person is using it for?
Well, if you sign up with Consensum, then you automatically have an account with CopyTrack. Of course, when you sign up, you will be asked whether that's okay for you for data protection. But so you are with Consensum, you are protected with both services. If you sign up with CopyTrack, you do not automatically get a Consensum account.
Gotcha. I love it. So Marcus, when we look at what you guys have been able to achieve with CopyTrack and also Consensum, how do ones feel when you work in their behalf and find out that someone out there is using their likeness, using their images, using things that they created, and you come back and say, "Hey, we got you back. We have that for you." How do your clients personally feel about that?
Well, of course, they are super happy. And we have some clients which, work very intensely with our service, and they earn a five-digit sum almost every month. Then we have image agencies, and for them, it's actually a real revenue stream. So we can only encourage people to actively work with those systems, since A, it's for free, and B, the only thing they can get is they win. They have nothing to lose.
And when it comes to you as the CEO and managing things in Berlin, things in Singapore, technology makes it a lot easier to check on things. So you may don't have to fly Singapore to Germany all the time. You can handle things, you know, kind of with the technology out there. Talk about the benefit of being able to use certain things to help you to oversee, you know, these massive companies that you are a part of.
It's actually a pity, right? You have all this technology, because normally I would have to travel to you to have this interview, and now I don't have a chance. I'm sitting in Berlin, it's dark outside and getting cold already. And you are sitting in California, I believe, so it's a pity. But from time to time, I find an excuse to fly to Singapore or to our development center in Lisbon. And then I can sneak out.
That's like me. Like Marcus, I would love to be in Berlin right now and seeing the beautiful country of Berlin and Germany and driving the Autobahn with my wheelchair. That's what I want to do but I probably can run over in my wheelchair, right? On the Autobahn, right?
No, you have to have a minimum of 80 kilometers per hour to use the Autobahn.
So my wheelchair won't do it, right?
I don't think so.
I hear you, my friend. So Marcus, how can ones find out more information about Consensum, CopyTrack, and let's talk about a website they can go to.
Okay, so the website of CopyTrack is simply copytrack.com. And for Consensum, it's consensum.org.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, to use the services, there is no cost. So there is no sign-up fee, there is no monthly fee. CopyTrack, you can simply sign up and use it in 30 seconds, your images will be tracked. Only if we are successfully recovering a license fee for you, then we will take a cut. Consensum, the global copyright register, is totally free to use for you.
Wow. That is pretty cool what you guys are doing for us, Marcus. We truly appreciate it. And before I let you go, is there anything else out there you'd like to articulate to the viewer or to the listener out there about Consensum, about CopyTrack that we haven't covered so far?
Well, of course, it's great that you had us on your show, and we have the opportunity to tell you a little bit and your audience. I can just encourage every rights owner, every photographer or image agency to try our service, sign up, and see where your images are used. You will be surprised, actually, about the results. And then if you find some illegal image or used images, then click on the submit button. If there is anything your audience wants to know, they could simply contact us, and we are happy to answer your questions.
Awesome. And we displayed the websites earlier, but if you can give that out for us one more time, we really appreciate that.
That's copytrack.com, and it's consensum.org.
All right, Marcus Schmidt, all the way from Berlin, Germany. Great talking to you, CEO of CopyTrack. Thank you so much for coming on the program. We'd love to have you back on again, and just to talk about, you know, the company, some of the things you're doing. And also, if you guys are launching any other things out there, because you remind me of a very innovative CEO, that you're just not happy with just CopyTrack and Consensum, that something else may be up your sleeve. I kind of think about that. Am I true about it? Am I correct?
You want to know the next thing?
Yeah. You got to come back on.
It will be a digital image marketplace based on blockchain, where the photographers can sell their images and licenses directly, and therefore earn a much bigger margin on their images. And it will start, I believe, early next year. We'll already come with a beta version towards end of the year.
All right. Well, you have to come back on when it launches, and we'll do a preview and a premiere about the new company. How does that sound, my friend?
We'll do.
Sounds good. You have a great one.
Thank you, and thanks for having me here. Take care.
Thank you, Marcus. Bye. Well, in the words of the notorious B.I.G., if you don't know, now you know. I'd like to thank Marcus Schmidt from CopyTrack, and also talking about his new company, Consensum, and how they are helping us to protect our images, pictures, photos, when it comes to the internet. So definitely check them out. I think this is a great thing that they're doing. Berlin, Germany. See, that's what I love about the Tech Zone. We worldwide. We just don't stick ourselves to the box of California. We talk to everyone around the world when it comes to technology and the things out there that could benefit you. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about something else that I'm sure you want to know about and hear about. Here on the Tech Zone, I'm Paul Amadeus Lane. I'll be right back. I'm going back to get me something to drink. And it's not alcohol. I'll be right back after these messages.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Welcome back to the show, third and final segment. I am so happy you decided to stay with me. If you missed anything from the beginning of the show, you can always catch up on demand. Tech Zone, Paul Amadeus Lane, ABC News Radio, KMET, iHeart, iTunes, YouTube, blah, blah, blah. We got you covered. All right. I am so excited about this next segment. I had to sit on this coverage for a few months, only because the show had not debuted yet. Normally I would have something like this on my Entertainment Zone show, but the reason I wanted to put this on the Tech Zone, because it really talks about science and technology and what could be achievable for us. I'm talking about Nat Geo's hit series, Mars, the second season. I was able to go to a press room at Comic-Con, talk to some of the Mars big thinkers out there, the cast, an astronaut. Wow, it was so amazing. Now, it actually debuted this week. So if you haven't had a chance to check out the beginning of season 2, do it right now and catch up on season 1 too. It's a phenomenal series. I love it. And I had an opportunity to talk to several people, so I'd like to share some of the interviews that I was a part of. It's amazing. It's awesome. First up, we have Andy Weir. Andy is a Mars big thinker, best-selling author of The Martian, and most recently Atlantis. Had a chance to talk with him and Susan Wise Bauer, who was also a Mars big thinker. She's a historian, colonization expert, and author of the History of the World series. Got a chance to catch up with them first to talk about Mars season 2. Why are we so intrigued with Mars?
Well, I think it's because it's the next place that we haven't been. It's the next most obvious target for us. We went to the moon 50 years ago, so it's kind of a been there, done that mentality. And it's exciting. It's a planet. It's out there. It's red. It stands out. It's really unique. Venus is a no-go because it's the conditions there make it well beyond our technological ability to land there. But Mars is the next thing.
Well, and there's an imaginative element to this, too. I mean, we've been writing science fiction about Mars since the 19th century, you know, not about the other planets. And I agree with you. Something about the size, the color. This is where, you know, invaders have been coming from. And now we finally have a glimpse of the technology that could help us get there, you know.
And what I think is fun is that our imagination always makes us think what Martians look like.
Yes, I know, exactly. And now we're looking at, actually, we're going to be the Martians. It's almost a reverse invasion, right?
And yeah. If there are Martians, they are going to be monocellular organisms. Yes. So.
Awesome. So what are you looking forward to with season 2 coming up?
Oh, well, I've actually seen it, so I can't speak to that because I don't want to blow any plot points, but Andy hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen it at all, so I'm really looking forward to the interplay between the basically the miners or what drillers or mm-hmm. whatever they're called mm-hmm. and the scientists. That seems like a really interesting interplay.
There always seem to be drama with the, I guess, the labor and the brains, you know, like was talked about by Andy, talking about the dynamic between the drillers and the scientists. Always, always, always. Now I had an opportunity to chat with the ones who are really responsible for putting this great project together. Dee Johnson. Dee is the executive producer and also a showrunner for Mars. And she has done stuff on Nashville and also ER. And also Dr. Steven Petrenic. I probably mispronounced his name, but that's not new if you've been watching the show for many times. I do that on a number of bases. He is the Mars scientific advisor, co-executive producer, and big thinker of the award-winning author of How We'll Live on Mars, on which the series is based. And let's hear what they have to say about the new season.
So, Stephen and Dee, let's talk about the challenges of life on Mars. Yeah.
Well, they are many. It's a very cold place. You can't breathe the atmosphere. If you go for a walk on Mars, you'll get about 2,000 times the exposure to the sun that you get on Earth. You get an instant sunburn.
No sunblock on Earth will work there.
You have to live pretty much underground to avoid the solar radiation. You have to create a breathable atmosphere because you can't breathe. There's plenty of water on Mars, but it's in the form of ice, and it takes a lot of energy to melt that ice, unless we can find water underground, which may be a possibility. So it's very cold at night. It's minus 125 degrees at night. So it is a much worse place to be than a bad storm in Antarctica.
And do you talk about the social aspect of living on Mars?
Well, you know, that was the fascination for me in coming in to do season two, which was how is it to live on all those conditions that he just mentioned, and how could somebody sort of survive and not lose their mind or just, you know, completely freak out, and or how do these people coexist in a world where there is no 911, there's no cops, there's no army, and what happens when you don't get along? So those things interested me.
Stephen and Dee really got into the nuts and bolts of what would life be like without no 911 and all these other things out there. I would love to live on Mars. I think the simpler life is, the better off we are and the less stress that we will be a part of. And our next interview takes us to my first, and that is interviewing an astronaut, Leland Melvin, former astronaut and author. And I got a chance to talk with Leland, who's been out in space, to ask him what he thought about, you know, living on Mars.
Now, Leland, it's an honor talking to you.
Likewise.
What made you want to be an astronaut in the first place?
So I never imagined myself being an astronaut, but it was when my friend, he applied, he got in. And I said, if NASA lets knuckleheads like that in to be astronauts, maybe I can be one too. But he came back and showed me what he was doing, flying jets and training and inspiring kids. And I said, well, I want to do that too, because representation matters.
It's so true. And were you into sci-fi when you were growing up?
A little bit. I wasn't a heavy sci-fi person. I read a few science fiction books, but I think I love tinkering and building and creating things, and I think that fueled my curiosity for just being a scientist and an engineer. And those were the foundational pieces to help me become an astronaut.
And when it comes to space travel, and especially when it comes to the series Mars, what's your take on it? What can you tell people out there listening and watching to say, hey, you have to watch this show because it's really intriguing?
What's incredible about Mars season two is that, you know, first season was getting there and how to get there. But the second season is like, how do you really live there for an extended period of time? And the fighting, and is there a bar, and is there, you know, people having, making love and having babies and all these things? If that stuff is there, that's what we do down here. And so that's extending our planet to Mars and living and functioning in a society that's going to work, and having the right leadership to make sure that it does work.
And do you think that we will see a two-way trip to Mars in our lifetime?
So I'm 54, so having maybe another 50 years to live, possibly.
Would you
Would I go?
Yes.
Go?
I'd go.
On a two-way trip.
Two-way trip.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you ever heard someone do in space?
Ooh, weirdest thing. That's a good question. The weirdest thing that happened to me was the bathroom and everything floated.
I really enjoyed talking to Leland Melvin as an African-American astronaut and some of the things he had to just deal with to become an astronaut. It is truly inspirational. If you haven't checked out a story, make sure you Google him, Leland Melvin. I'm going to tell you something real cool. I was in between press rooms of at Comic-Con. And I ran into Nichelle Nichols. You know, I interviewed her, Lieutenant Uhura from Star Trek. And I went and said hi to her because I interviewed her before and talked to her manager and everything. And then Leland came around the corner and said, Leland, Nichelle Nichols just went down in the elevator. And he was so excited, but he didn't get a chance to go down there and talk with her. What a lot of people don't realize, when Lieutenant Uhura, or when Nichelle Nichols was on Star Trek, especially in the 60s, that gave African-American minorities and women a glimpse of, hey, I can go into space too. And she inspired a lot of astronauts out there, men and women of color and women in general. So the impact, the positive impact of TV that can be had is less reported on than the negative impact. So I want to use my platform to talk about the positive things out there. And I think Leland is going to inspire a lot of people out there as well, too. Next up, had a chance to chat with, a couple of stars of the show, Jihei. Jihei is a singer. She's one of the actors. She plays a set of twins. She plays one of a set of, how can I say this correctly? She has a twin on the show. Let me just say it like that. Got a chance to talk with her and also Jeff Heppner. Jeff played on Chicago Med, Code Black, and a lot of things. Got a chance to ask them what it's like to be a part of this project.
Talk about the research you both had to do to get into character about being on Mars.
Well, you know, we learned, we had space camp, and we learned a little bit about science, a little bit about the gravity there and what it would feel like. I also did personal research on what it takes to become an astronaut, what it takes to become a pilot. You'd have to have thousands of hours of flying time. So my character actually went to, was in the Air Force, and had an engineering degree, and studied for a good 12, 15 years before she became who she became.
Nice. And what about your character?
I think a lot of research for me was embracing how I react in really awkward situations, kind of like press, you know, things like that. You know, just embracing how, you know how sometimes you have to just fake it till you make it. I think if you trained, I don't care how much you trained on Earth to be on Mars, once you got there, you'd be like, I'm here. And I think there's an element of that that I wanted to embrace as a character, of maintaining some kind of semblance of leadership and strength while being scared out of my mind.
Would you both ever go to Mars?
I don't think so.
No, I would not. I mean, if Mars was a bar down the street, I'd go. But I mean, the planet, no, I'm good.
If Mars had a jungle and the sea, I would go.
Now, playing these characters, did it open your eyes up to the reality of what life on Mars would really be like?
I think so, absolutely. Very hostile, very dangerous, and claustrophobic.
Yeah, claustrophobic. It comes up quite a bit. But I think that once you surround yourself with the scientists who are studying this and the facts that are getting brought back from the rover, you know, from Curiosity and things that are there, it starts to assemble this real place. And when you start to see it as a real place as opposed to the science fiction land, I find that to be terrifying. You know, and it's a real thing, and somebody's gonna go. Good luck.
Well, there you have it, folks. Mars, season 2, Nat Geo. Check it out. What I really love about this series is that it's part documentary, and then it's part fictional series. And I think this is really transformational of how we kind of see things. Because you ever watch a documentary, let's say they're talking about what happened in Egypt with Pharaoh Ramses or Imhotep or some of the other pharaohs out there. And you have them talking about it, and they have like a little cutaway of what things will be like. What I like about Mars is that you see an actual series of things and events playing out, and Nat Geo is hitting a home run with this. So definitely go ahead and check it out. Now, will you go to Mars? I will if there's some brothers up there. Ain't no brothers up there. I ain't going up there. Get me up there trying to take me out. Yeah, I know what time it is. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to the Tech Zone this episode. Look forward to chatting with you guys next week. We are one show away from show number 100. 99 is coming up next week. I got 99 shows, and you better watch this one. That's all I'm saying. All right. Till next time, Paul Amadeus Lane. Love you, folks. Take care.
In this world of technology, things are ever-changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, Our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.